Live from Southern California, this is the Jim Rome Show on CBS Sports Radio.
We start hour number two. What's going on? Welcome to the program. I am Jim Rome. I am live in Southern California in the Quicken Loan Studios. Quicken Loans apply simply, understand fully, mortgage confidently. Wrapped up hour number one. We got a complete preview of the NBA Finals. I want to change up on you to start hour number two. If you're on hold, stay there. If not, I've got a phone line open, 1-800-636-8686. I want to talk baseball. I mean, I really want to get into it and talk some baseball. And if I'm going to do that, you know who I'm going to run down. An MLB columnist for Yahoo Sports. He is the author of The Arm, the host of the Yahoo Sports MLB podcast, a bronze medalist in the 2017 Smack Off, and he did it in his first ever attempt. My guest is Jeff Passan. Jeff, good morning. What's up? How are you?
Van Smack, how are you, my friend?
Good, good, bud. How about you? How are things?
Life is wonderful. Thank you for asking.
Good. Lots to cover. And I want to start with Carlos Gomez because he had some comments regarding the league's approach to drug testing. He broke it down to you on your podcast earlier this month. In a nutshell, how does he feel about the league's drug testing program?
He thinks that it's targeting old players and Dominican players, essentially. And look, Major League Baseball, when I bring this to them, says, of course it's random. We're not even running it. It's done between Major League Baseball and the Players Association with an independent crew that's doing it. We couldn't possibly have a hand in this. But look, Brian Colangelo couldn't possibly have had a hand in his own demise with five burner accounts either, right? I mean, there are, like, weirder conspiracies out there than Major League Baseball like to test guys who are older, who are likelier to use, or who are Dominican, who have been caught more in the past. So I think Carlos Gomez's perspective here comes from some well-earned cynicism. You know, he's been around baseball. He's seen that Major League Baseball as a sport has mistreated, frankly, Dominican players for decades upon decades, whether it was paying them scant bonus amounts. I mean, you know, Sammy Sosa signing for $2,000, Miguel Tejada signing for $3,000, you know, guys who were superstars getting pennies on the dollar because they came from poor countries and didn't know any better and didn't have the people to negotiate it for them, to these days when I think Dominican players simply don't feel like they're marketed properly or enough, or they have a large enough voice at the bargaining table. So this is something that's been brewing for a long time. And while I'm not positive by any means that Dominican players or older players are being tested more, I can understand why Carlos Gomez might feel that way.
Jeff Passan, MLB columnist for Yahoo Sports. Jeff, you mentioned Brian Colangelo. You know, I hit on this yesterday, and I'm kind of staying away from it today because fact is, at first, allegedly, it's Colangelo who's responsible for the five burner accounts. Then, allegedly, it's his father. Now, allegedly, it's his wife. So, until I know more, I'm just going to kind of stay away from it. But you brought it up. What is your reaction to that entire story?
It's the greatest thing I've ever heard. Like, honestly, I was reading that, and
isn't it what makes the NBA great?
It really is. Dan Wetzel wrote a great column on it, just saying that this is what the NBA is all about. And here's the thing. Almost every general manager that I know has a burner account, but he's not stupid enough to actually go tweet from it. And I almost feel like whether this was Brian Colangelo or whether this was somebody who was close to him, it's like an Icarus type thing. You know, when you get that close to the sun, you are going to combust, but you want to keep getting closer and closer. So you send that first tweet out, and nobody understands that it's you, and you don't get in trouble for it. And it's like a dopamine hit. And then you want more, so you send another out. And then you get a little riskier and riskier. And all of a sudden, you've been doing this, and it becomes part of your everyday life. It becomes part of who you are. And you almost lose a grasp on what reality is and what proper behavior is in this situation. And, you know, my friend Adrian Wojnarowski, he tweeted that GMs keep asking him, what is the calculus here? Like, why would he do this? Why would he risk something for something so stupid and so trivial. But we're flawed people, man. We are human beings, and even though we want to act in our best interest at all times, emotion can get in the way. And when you are being just lambasted and compared to your predecessors, who you think you're better than, and others are out there saying otherwise, it's tough to ignore that. I mean, you see it every day on Twitter. I see it every day on Twitter. People who are out there in jobs that are public get crushed. That's just part of the gig, though. And whether it was Brian Colangelo or someone in his family, you need to know that being deaf to things like that is one of the most important parts of the job these days, because if you're not, it's going to come back and bite you.
Okay, you put that so well. That's exactly what that is. I mean, you have to school everybody in the family up. Look, every public figure, Jeff, knows this. We all understand this. Early on, as I started to do this and everybody was coming at me with lots of hate, I would say to my wife and I would say to my family and say to my friends, listen, stop reading that stuff. If it bothers you that much, do not read it, because I don't want you to keep running it back to me, because it's always going to be there. So you need to know this going in, but wouldn't he or everybody else know that going in? Maybe, maybe not, I guess.
And look, you read it. I don't mind reading it. I don't mind hearing it, because I almost feel like it's my responsibility to know what people are thinking and saying, because sometimes they're going to be right. And I'm not arrogant enough to believe that I am the best at what I do, or that everything I say or think is correct. And I want to get better, and I want to be smarter. And I think there's a little humility involved in that. And sometimes when you're in a job like running a team, and someone like Sam Hinkie has come in before you and done something so unorthodox and so different and eventually so productive, you almost feel like you're in a no-win situation, that you can't do better than that, so you get defensive about it. But Brian Colangelo is a two-time NBA Executive of the Year. If defensiveness is one of those traits that is going to define you, then there's something far deeper there that I think people probably don't realize or never did about him that's coming out and finally manifesting itself now publicly.
My man Jeff Passan showing some amazing range. I did not think that we would cover that topic today, so let me keep moving, and I appreciate it. Now, as long as we're talking about testing, let's go back to that for a minute. In Major League Baseball, the league did commission a study to examine the baseballs, and the result of that study was the balls in 2016 and 2017 had lower drag coefficients than in previous years. What's your reaction to that study?
It's not surprising that the balls are different, because I never bought the idea that players changing the lift on their swing and having a higher launch angle would be that big of a differentiator with home runs. I mean, home runs were at the highest rate they've ever been last year. It was absurd how the ball was flying, and it still is to an extent. But to have that leap from even just a couple of years ago, when home runs were down so low, Major League Baseball was asking itself, you know, are we developing power hitters anymore? I think the thing to take out of this is that Major League Baseball was not actively juicing the balls. I think the likeliest explanation, and this is almost weird in a sense, is that Major League Baseball, the people who make the balls down in Costa Rica have gotten so good at making the balls and gotten so efficient that the center of the ball it's being wound slightly differently. And if the center of the ball is even the slightest bit off, think about what happens when you have like one of those ball, if you have like a baseball that's a tiny bit off center, it almost wobbles, right? So that wobble is going to increase the drag on the ball. If you have the center of the ball exactly in the middle, the wobble's not going to be quite as much, and you're likelier to have a ball with less drag then, and it's going to fly farther. So it's almost like baseball potentially has been a victim of its own manufacturing process, and that the people are doing such a good job of making baseball these days that they're flying farther. Now, how do you combat that? that's a difficult thing to say. Is this something that you just get used to? I think that probably is going to be the solution.
Clones, you will deal with this guy in the smack off on July 20th. Jeff Passan, my guest. Jeff, I got to ask you about Mike Trout before you go. 59 hits this year, 34 are for extra bases. He's got a game on Saturday in New York where he went 5-for-5 with 3 doubles and a home run. He's top 3 in the American League in home runs, runs, walks, stolen bases, slugging percentage, and OPS. I mean, and on top of all that, nobody says anything because we expect all this from this guy.
I know.
He's 26. If he keeps up at this rate, that what we're seeing right now from him, what are we going to think when we look back on his career?
Mike Trout doesn't have 10 years in the big leagues yet, so he's not technically a Hall of Famer. But if he stopped playing baseball right now, he has Hall of Fame numbers for me. If I were still voting for the Hall of Fame, I would vote for him because this is the best start to a career that we have ever seen. And I don't think people appreciate that or understand that because what he does, he's so consistent that the spectacular is almost just normal for him. He plays an elite center field. He hits with power similar to Aaron Judge and Giancarlo Stanton and Bryce Harper and all of the other beasts in baseball. He runs as well as anybody in the game. There is not a flaw in Mike Trout's game. You look, he's walked 50 times, struck out only 46. I mean, you find very few guys who walk more than they strike out. This is one of the most special baseball players ever, entering his prime right now at 26 years old. And that's coming off of 5 seasons in which he could have arguably won the MVP. What we're looking at right now is one of the best players ever at perhaps his height. And so with Shohei Ohtani on the Angels, I almost think we lack an appreciation for what Trout not just has done, but what he's doing right now. It's incredible to see. And as somebody who loves baseball and who appreciates greatness, I think the combination of those two things for any baseball fan of Mike Trout right now is absolutely undeniable, and you're doing yourself a disservice if you're not watching the guy and appreciating.
Yeah, listen, I'm glad you laid it out like that, but let me ask you this. In terms of his career, in terms of his legacy that he might leave behind, how important is it, though, that the Angels reach the postseason on a consistent basis and then make noise once they get there?
You know, Mike Trout's one playoff series so far ended in a sweep at the hands of Kansas City after a 99-win season. So the idea that Mike Trout needs to get a great October to be recognized, I mean, I suppose we can look at Ernie Banks and say, you know, he was one of the all-time great players, but, you know, never had an October to speak of. I think that it would solidify Mike Trout's legacy and fulfill what he plays the game for. You know, he doesn't, he's not one of those guys who does this for himself. He wants to win, and he wants to win a ring. And it's why, you know, him being part of the pitch to Shohei Ohtani was as vital as it was. Like, Mike Trout was getting married, and he FaceTimed with Shohei Ohtani. And he said, hey, we need you here because we're capable of doing something special. And so to have him and to have Andrelton Simmons and to have Ohtani, those three, along with Justin Upton, really are the centerpieces of this team. And it's a team that can make some noise. But look, the Seattle Mariners are playing well, and the other playoff spots are set. We know the Indians are going. We know the Astros are going. We know the Yankees are going. We know that the Red Sox are going. It looks like it's going to be the Angels in a fight for the wild card, playing either the Yankees or the Red Sox. And having Mike Trout in a one-game playoff would be great for baseball and potentially great for that legacy you were talking about.
Jeff Passan, my guest. Listen, one last thought, if you don't mind. Off the board, I've got to ask you about, when it comes to baseball's popularity, what kind of an impact do you think the Supreme Court ruling, Jeff, on sports gambling might have on the game?
I mean, I think it could be potentially huge. It could. Baseball is the sport that has a greater chance of creating degenerate gamblers than anything else. And I'm not saying that in a positive manner, but if you look at baseball, it's a very binary sport. And gambling can, especially gambling where it's going, Jim, is going to be a very binary thing. smartphones are the best thing that ever happened for gambling, because you know that somebody is going to create a platform that you can almost turn into like penny slots or nickel slots.
You bet.
You're going to be able to say, is this going to be a ball or a strike? And you're going to be given odds. You know, it's going to pay off 10 cents for a ball and 5 cents for a strike, for example, because most pitchers are throwing about 2-to-1 strike to ball ratio. And you're going to have that. You're going to have what's the outcome of this at bat. It has the ability to make the seventh inning of an 8-to-1 game between two garbage teams in August mean something. And that's what baseball really needs, because baseball right now has turned into such a parochial sport that this has the ability to bring more people into the fold and learn and understand that there are teams outside of your zip code.
My man, despite what you said earlier in the conversation, you can go ahead and be arrogant enough to think you are the best at what you do. Because Jeff Passan, I think you are. My man, Jeff Passan, breaking down all things relating to not only baseball, but even burner accounts on Twitter with an NBA executive, allegedly. Jeff, great to have you back, my man. Thank you very much.
Pleasure's always mine, my friend. Looking forward to the smack off, and see you next month.
You got it, Jeff. See you next month. Thank you very much. Jeff Passan, man, he is so good. He is so good on any topic. Like I said, I was not looking to talk to him about Brian Colangelo. He brought it up. I followed up, and he laid that out perfectly. And in terms of betting, he's right. You know, micro betting. Baseball is on all the time. He's right. It gives you the opportunity to have a seventh inning of a meaningless July or August game mean a whole lot to somebody, because it is so binary. There's going to be almost nothing you can't gamble on or bet on. Micro betting, betting within the game, betting within the inning, betting within the one at bat. Of course, it's going to help baseball. It's going to help most things. And it might not help some things. 1-800-636-8686. All right. My bad. I said that interview was later on in the hour. My mistake. It's right there. I hope you heard it. Chris Dolman is coming up in hour number 3. So we're wide open for an entire hour now. This is the best time to get in. Whatever you want to hit on, do it right now. Men, if you're finally ready to reduce the gray in your lettuce, your hair, go with the smartest product available, Experience Control GX from Just for Men, the first shampoo of the brain. Now, what makes it so smart? It reduces gray the same way that it grows in, gradually. The more you shampoo with Control GX, the less gray you're going to have. Just use it until you like what you see. Smart, right? Smart enough to be voted Men's Hair Care Product of the Year. Gradually reduce gray with the first shampoo of the brain. Find Control GX in the shave aisle. Control GX from Just for Men.
You're listening to the Jim Rome Show.
One of my favorite Jeff Passan appearances. Man, he is good. My man is smart. You know, when he could take something like Brian Colangelo and just break that story down. I mean, literally, I know a lot of really bright guys who cover the NBA, follow the NBA. I don't know that I could have found anybody to do a better job of breaking down what that was or what that might be and what it represents than he just did off the cuff. That's not a part of the prep. That was not in any way my intention. I did not go into a conversation with Jeff Passan thinking, you know what, I want to get into that Brian Colangelo thing. He brought it up. I followed him. And you'd be hard-pressed to find anybody better to break down that topic in or out of that sport. It's a fascinating conversation. You know, part about why. Like, the big question is, he said, other GMs are calling up Woj. And if anybody could break it down as well, it's Woj. But calling him up and saying, what's the calculus on that? Why would you do that? If you're a two-time NBA Executive of the Year and you have so little to gain and so much to lose, why would you do that? And Passan's point is so well taken. Like, look, we're still human. These guys are human too. And if you continue to hear and read what a crappy job you're doing, how your predecessor was so much better, you don't deserve any credit whatsoever, you know, you might give in to the moment. Purely speculation. because Colangelo has said, I'm responsible for one of those burner accounts, but not all five. So I don't know what he's responsible for and what he's not, or who around him may or may not be responsible. But the point's well taken. Even these guys who are in it, who should have thick skin, who should know better, potentially, reportedly, allegedly, could still get hooked, could still get caught up. And that whole notion of it's like dopamine, you know, you hit that thing, you send it, you get a response, ding! You know, it's like cracking the brain. I mean, that goes for everybody, right? That's not just an NBA GM thing. Why do you think people go down that deep rabbit hole every single day? Why do you think people are addicted to Facebook, social? It's that dopamine thing. It's going off in your head. Hey, there's a like, ding! There's a response, ding! There's some hate, ding! Ding, ding, ding. 1 hour, 2 hour, 3 hour. Damn, I'm going down a black hole. I've gone down a rabbit hole. How much time did I spend doing this? Maybe I should audit what I'm doing. Maybe we all should. Does that make sense? And so with that really smart conversation, do I go to a telephone call right now? Is it going to elevate the conversation? Let's find out. It's Smackoff season. Dan, in Denver, this guy needs a ticket. I would love to give away a ticket. I would like even more to take away a ticket. But I'd be happy to give away a ticket. Honestly, I hope this guy gets it. I'm not rooting against him. I'm rooting for him. I would love to give away a golden ticket this week. Let's go to Dan in Denver. Hey, Dan, what's up?
What's up, Rome? First off, I bet Caleb in Green Bay is really looking forward to your third-hour interview with Crispy Dough Man. And great interview with Jeff Passan. I understand he's a lot smarter than me, but I'm way better looking than him. Rumi, you see the butt chin on this guy? He looks like Ben Affleck if Affleck starred in a remake of Deliverance. And Rome, shout out to that coward Luke in Fort Collins. Dude, how many times you need called out before you deliver? You're like Floyd Mayweather. If Floyd couldn't talk trash or throw hands, Luke's golden ticket reign is a lot like that goose at the Tigers game last night. He's just flying around shook before eventually crashing in epic fashion. Luke, my man, if you're that scared of calling, you can just drive that ticket south. I'll take it off your hands. Romy, I'm sizing up this NBA Finals matchup, and there's one thing sticking out to me. It's what the hell is that thing on LeBron's face? You know LeBron's aging when even his beard's hairline is receding. His facial hair is so far behind the normal beard line, he calls it the Curry range. I'm just not sure what needs a makeover worse. This jacked Cavs roster or LeBron's jacked beard. And the sad thing is, LeBron chose both of them. But Rome, hear me out on this. LeBron is all about those subliminal messages. What if he's telling Philadelphia he's interested in signing with them by attempting to look like a Quaker? Warhawk's burner account being one of those lames you threaten to block daily. Out.
Dan, golden ticket denied. The entire call was on personal appearance. Personal appearance is not show fodder. So I'm sure your clones thought that was hilarious. I'm sure you loved it. Dude, Quaker smack? Did I hear that right? Quaker smack. Golden ticket denied. Come on, Dan, you know better. Do you want in or not? If you want in, you're not going to structure your entire call on how somebody looks. We're saying LeBron looks like a Quaker. Quaker smack. Come on, man. Golden ticket denied. 1-800-636-8686. Does anybody want a golden ticket? Wanting it and having the chops to get it are two different things. Man, somebody just step in here and do it. It's got to be easy for one of you. I'm not looking to give away 15 of these things. Just one. Just one. Today, in the next hour and a half. Somebody do it. 1-800-636-8686. I still have thoughts on the finals, which I've not gotten to. I will get to it. Inky Johnson is my EP39 podcast guest. He is so good. Inky is incredible. His story is amazing. You know, I know I say that a lot. Yeah, right, Rome. Like, a lot of your guests are really good. And incredibly, Rome, they all have amazing stories. Right. Why would I put somebody on who didn't have a good story? When I say a guy is great with a great story, it's because he's great with an amazing story. Inky Johnson. He's one of those guys. He's one of the most compelling electric figures I've spoken to in 25 years. That good. I want to reset that in a few moments for you. The goose. He mentioned the goose. Not a good night for the goose. I want to talk about that goose that got loose, and it looked like he was going to have a nice flight, get away unscathed, only to fly smack into the scoreboard. But he was all right, and they took care of him. So that was nice to see, too. And a lot of you wanted to hit me up on the Netty. Netty rules. I can't believe I did not find that thing sooner. All right, all of that still ahead. Plus, Pro Football Hall of Fame class member Chris Dolman, class of 2012. All still ahead. Having a good Thursday. Stay on it. Do not give in. Time now for a sports update. Bottom of hour number two. Let's see what the very latest is. Here you go.
Live from Southern California, this is the Jim Rome Show on CBS Sports Radio.
If you want maximum performance from your car, you could use an Edge, Castrol Edge. Castrol Edge with fluid titanium technology is three times stronger than the leading full synthetic against viscosity breakdown. If you need to hear it from somebody other than me, and you need to hear it from Kurt Orban, there you go. Orban did the test in the 5W30 VisGrade. It helps to fight friction. It delivers outstanding levels of performance. Castrol Edge, the titanium strong motor oil. All right. You have your phone number. Use it. Listen, whenever I mention the Jim Rome podcast on this show, it's for one reason only. I'm trying to steer you into premium content that you cannot and you will not hear on this show. It's a different show. It's content that I truly believe that you're going to want to find and you're going to want to listen to. And it's not like I slap some crazy price tag on it either. The Jim Rome podcast has always been free. And from where I'm sitting, the Jim Rome podcast is the best deal on the internet, especially when episodes like the one that I dropped on Tuesday with Inky Johnson ping your device, because Inky Johnson has got an amazing story to tell. Maybe you know his story, maybe you don't, but I guarantee there's a huge takeaway for anybody who hears it, even if they've already heard it. I'm talking about a dude who worked his way out of a two-bedroom apartment in Atlanta, where he and 13 others lived. A dude who went to high school that had more dropouts than graduates. A dude that would run agility drills as a youngster in front of the headlights of his mother's car well into the night just so he could stay on track and chase his NFL dream. And then after putting in all the time and all the effort just before his third year at Tennessee, his DB coach walks into the film room and tells him this.
Larry Slade, great coach, great man. He told me going into my third year, said, Ink, I got some great news. You're on track to graduate in 3 years, and you can declare for the NFL, man. You're a draft pick, right? And I went out of the room, and I called my mother and my grandmother, you know, and I told them after this season, our lives would never be the same. We'll never have to struggle again, and it's a great chance that I'm going to be in the NFL. I'm going to be doing well for myself.
So right then and there, he's 10 games away. 10 games away from everything he's worked his entire life for. 10 games away from the dream of changing his family's fortune. 10 games away from making generational changes in his family. 10 games. 10 games. And then he comes up to make a tackle on an Air Force running back late in the second game of that season, September 9th, 2006, and in an instant, his entire life changed.
And as soon as I hit him and made contact on him, it seemed as if I just lost control of my body. You know, every breath in my body left. My body went completely limp. I fell to the ground and I blacked out. It had never happened to me before. And so they put me on a spine board, they rolled me in an ambulance, and they get me to the hospital and they say, we're just going to run a couple tests and bring you back into the room. And when they brought me back into the room, shortly thereafter, the head doctor rushed into the room, and he was screaming. And he said, guys, we got to get in here. We got to rush this kid back to emergency surgery. He's about to die. And I looked at him, and I'm like, die? He said, yeah, you're about to die. You ruptured your subclavian artery in your chest. You're bleeding internally. We have to rush you back, take the main vein out of your left leg and plug it into your chest, or you won't be here in the morning.
All this after a routine play. A routine play on the sideline at the end of a game against Air Force. Inky would never play football again after that day. Because while the docs were able to save his life, they could not save his right arm from permanent paralysis. And everything that he was working so hard for himself and for his family, was ripped from him in an instant, in a single play. Now look, I'm not going to cheat this part of the story by paraphrasing it, so I really hope that you go check it out on the pod and you hear Inky tell it in full, because his response to this entire thing is incredible, including when I asked him if he could go back and change anything or do anything differently, would he do that? If you could go back, Inky, to that very moment, what would you change or what would you do differently?
You know, Jim, I wouldn't change a thing about it. And the reason I wouldn't change it is because of what happened to the people that were connected to me. It changed a lot of people's lives. You know, my father, right? I won't get too specific about it, but my father was headed down the wrong road. And my father had a wife and three daughters. And so when my father got his life on track, it corrected his family. A lot of my buddies in college, right, they looked at what I went through and it corrected their life. I always tell my buddies, I say, man, y'all got them NFL contracts and it's great. It's beautiful. I said, but I got the real contract. I got the life contract, and it's long, and it's rich. And so I wouldn't change nothing that ever happened to me.
This is why when I had Eric Berry on this show several weeks back, Eric Berry said that Inky Johnson is a guy that he's always looked up to. Eric Berry is a guy that everybody around the NFL looks up to. And Eric Berry raved about Inky. Inky's a guy whose life was flipped on its ear 10 games before a multi-million dollar contract and an NFL dream were about to be realized. But he wouldn't change a thing because of the ripple effect his life and his perseverance have had on those around him. It's amazing. 30 more minutes where that came from, and you really want to check that one out. Cruise on over to iTunes, Apple Podcast, or any of the Android players and simply search Jim Rome Podcast, or you can find it right now for free on jimrome.com. And no, do not think that I forgot about you voicemail fiends. I wish that I did, but I didn't. And here's a taste of this week's collection.
First new message.
Hey, Jim. This is Harrison Ford. Are you planning on going to see that movie Solo? Don't. It's Don't do it, or I will fly by your house. Who has a movie Solo without me in it? And that little glorified Yorkie bitch, Chewbacca. He and I had a pact. One for all and all for one. Don't see Solo. I'd rather see Hope Solo pooping behind a counter and fling.
Message deleted. Next message.
Jim, you've given us Toby. Now give us the rapper. We need to know the rapper who hit on Janet and will get you in the Hall of Fame. Thanks.
Message saved. Next message.
This is Robert. Yo, Romy. I've been a big fan for a long time. I show up every day to work, not only to earn a living, but to listen to your show. But I wish I would have called in sick today, because that take on that nasty tapeworm, wherever the hell you were talking about, got to me. And the graphic way that you described that was horrific, and I haven't been the same since. And to be honest with you, I've been afraid to drop anchor.
Message deleted.
Just a taste. Man, I wish that thing would go away. But the amazing thing is, I can have a 30-minute conversation with Inky Johnson, which is one of my favorites ever, and a lot of you still only show up for the voicemail. I keep trying to kill it, have not been able to. Hey, listen, last 2 days, Adam Hawk, put on the cans, join me for a minute. This is where you live, this is your beat, this is what you do. Remind them that they've got 2 more days to get their list of demands in prior to the Hall of Fame vote.
Voting for the Hall of Fame opens up on Monday, so for the next 2 days, we will take whatever list of demands that the clones want to submit via Twitter or email. We will put them into the box of chaos, and we will draw 5 of them randomly live on the air Monday. If they get you into the Hall of Fame, you will make good on those 5 demands that we draw out on Monday. But you got to get them in now or tomorrow.
All right, pop quiz. True or false? I was looking for you during a recent break and could not find you, and you were in the hallway on your back. True or false?
Very true.
What the hell were you doing?
I was foam rolling my hamstrings. My physical therapist that I met yesterday for the first time advised me to continue to foam roll throughout the day, as this job consists a lot of sitting.
Did he advise you to foam roll in the middle of the hallway when I'm looking for you to ask you about a guest?
I was tucked away in the corner, and I did not expect you to round the corner, so I was quite embarrassed, and it was very inopportune timing, to say the least.
Wow, dude, your vocabulary is improving dramatically. It's almost like you graduated 13th grade. Dude, you're foam rolling in the middle of the show.
Sorry about that.
Dude, it's a three-hour show. There are 21 hours in the day.
The physical therapist says every 30 to 45 minutes you should get up, walk around, get some movement going.
If the physical therapist told you to jump off a bridge onto a freeway, would you?
At this point, I would. I've gone from a chiropractor.
What did your physical therapist think about how you injured your back?
He was a golfer himself, and he thought
Does your physical therapist think that it's a good idea for you to remain employed?
Yeah, if I get up and move around every 30 to 45 minutes.
Does the physical therapist know how dumb you really are, Hawk?
He'll find out. We have another meeting coming up.
Why are you still talking to me, Hawk? Yeah, because I couldn't have told them to get their demands in, Hawk. You walk right into a buzzsaw. Of course I could have said, just get your demands and you're down to your last 2 days. Hawk is good show fodder. He really is. I mean, that's a true story. I'm like, Hawk, there seems to be a bit of confusion on my part. Like, Jeff Passan is at 10:40, right? Why is he coming up right? Hey, Hawk, can I ask you something? Yeah, well, I'm over here, Van Smack. Hawk, why are you lying in the hallway on a foam roller? And he told you why. This email reads, Romeo, since we're running out of time for the box of chaos ideas, how about if we get you in the hall, you name your next horse Neti Pot? I can just hear it now. Here comes Neti Pot, sledging through the wet trenches and clearing the way down the stretch. Dan in Pittsburgh wore James Kelly's forehead, being used as a space heater when he has a fever. That's a good war. That's an original war. I like it. I've hit a stretch right now in horse racing. It is so hard to win. And I don't mean a grade one. I don't mean a grade two. I don't mean a Breeders' Cup race. I mean any race. It is so freaking hard to win.
Win!
I'd name a horse Neti Pot if I thought it could get me a win. Tough game, man. When you've got the best horse in the world, you win every time out. Then when you no longer have that horse or another really, really good horse, you don't win at all. It's a punch in the face. Check that. It's a kick in the ass and a punch in the face. I would name a horse Neti Pot if I thought it would get me a win. Let's get a phone call in here before the end of hour number two. Let's go to Manhattan Beach. Esther. Esther, good morning. How are you?
Good, Jim. How are you?
So good. So good. What's
good.
Up?
Good. So I listened to you way back in the day, and now that you're on TV, I watch you every day. Your show has become my new reality show because it's very entertaining. The radio is great. The show is even greater. So the reason I'm calling is because I want you to have Mike Piazza on your show.
Hmm. How come?
It's been... Well, I'm a great fan of his. I'm a great fan of yours. He's a Hall of Fame member. You are soon to be a Hall of Fame member. And I thought it'd be a great interview. It was very entertaining back in the day. And I haven't heard from him in a while. I just want to hear the conversation.
Esther, you're the best. Thank you so much. Thank you for listening. Thank you for watching. And I'm glad you brought that up. Esther in Manhattan Beach saying, bring back Mike. She's so right. And when Mike went in, we had a conversation on this show, but if you're a longtime Jungle listener, you remember back in the day when Mike came on, we had so many great conversations. And again, the thing about an interview, the best interview is not an interview. The best interview is a conversation. It just devolves or evolves quickly into an exchange of ideas. It's just a couple of guys or a couple of people sitting around, chopping it up, hanging out. Alvy, do you have any old school Mike? Mike Piazza was so much fun back in the day. When I came up, see, we came up together. Mike came up in Major League Baseball. I came up in Southern California radio, and then we went syndicated. We sort of came up together. So just a couple of young guys just doing their thing. We used to have a lot of fun when he came on the show. That's your cue, Alvin. Dude. Go ahead, Alvin, whatever you got.
Man, I'm hanging in there, dude. I'm in my cave, man. I'm ticked off, man, because there's nothing on TV.
Dude, what do you normally do like before the lunch hour in SoCal after a game?
Just like freaking hibernate, man. Just go down. I got these cool shades in my room. It's like completely dark in here. It's the cave, man. So the love cave.
The love cave, man. So you like you can lock up in the love cave and not have to worry about like some autograph freaks stalking you and tracking you to sign balls and things like that.
Yeah, it's just it's kind of like my San Simeon, man. It's a hideaway up here in Manhattan Beach.
Just talk about things like that. Must be nice, man. Imagine being Mike Piazza back in the day, single, hanging out in the love cave in Manhattan Beach. Rolling with Ira Craig, Raider Mike, EK. All right, let's go to hour number three. Chris Dolman joins me next hour. Top of the hour, though. Wide open segment. Use it. Hit it up. You've got your phone number, and we will come right back.